population. You are correct.
Okay.
The other aspect is within that demographic, if you have two families traveling together, they will choose to go where there is a vacation rental home, not necessarily a destination based. They will not stay in a hotel. And so we add to the number or complexity of demographics of people who are coming to Portland and enable those different demographics. So it's really not exclusionary. One person at a hotel is a very different customer than a family. And so the use, the spend, it's not one or the other. It's adding more to the travel demographic.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you letting me cross-examine you. Go ahead.
You bet. Anytime.
My name is Scott Brion. I'm a past chair of the King Neighborhood Association and past board member of the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. I'm also the chief strategy officer for GASA, which you have just heard about, which is one of the fastest-growing companies in Portland, if not the fastest. We have 300 employees and plan to hire thousands more over the next 3 years. GASA is a short-term rental property management company with properties in many of Portland's peer cities, but not one in our hometown of Portland, due to the current and proposed regulations. You will hear a lot of emotional testimony from others today, so I hope I can provide some basic data and examples of why this draft needs to be delayed and reviewed by a committee. As a result of this project being outside of the permitted scope of Recap 6, necessary stakeholders and experts were excluded from helping in a meaningful way. What we have been left with is a draft recommendation that fails to address livability, taxation, and affordable housing concerns while killing both future and current jobs. The recap process failed to review traditional regulations and best practices that would have highlighted that such simple safety requirements like CO2 detectors are missing. Even the definition of occupancy is discriminatory and lacks basic safety considerations. Where it permits a family with 20 kids in a one-bedroom condo, it does not permit four unwed couples in a four-bedroom house. And with explicit exclusion of non-resident employees, and which includes property managers, housekeepers, maintenance techs, there are no mechanisms in place for the community or renters to have issues addressed if the owner is out of the city or even out of the country, as this proposed proposals on table permit. Limitations in the current proposed regulations also cut off 80% of the $30 to $40 million rental market that is on the table today. That's $3 to $4 million in TOT revenue. So when you were talking about $50,000 in revenue earlier today, as a Portland taxpayer, I was a little concerned. That tax revenue could support affordable housing initiatives, as Commissioner Saltzman has suggested earlier today. We manage 1,000 homes with 300 employees. With this regulation explicitly preventing professional management, second homes, larger homes, and preventing in-home occupancy occupations, it's easily stated that it immediately kills 100 to 300 jobs and prevents hundreds of future jobs with this very traditional activity that has existed for decades. In short, the current and proposed regulations kill jobs, lose millions in tax revenue, and fail to address the most basic and safety and livability concerns. This draft needs to go to a real committee with stakeholders having a conversation and creating a plan that supports our neighborhoods, creates jobs while addressing tangential concerns like affordable housing. Portland is known for being a leader. This document falls far short of that vision in every respect. The cost of the Vacation Rental Managers Association is here to help and guide the process going forward.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, please. Thank you.
Are Bob Lowe, Terry Parker, and Kathleen Escriva, and they'll be followed by Angela Arment, Linda Fitzgerald, and Michael Kaiser, I believe it's Nyman.
How are you? Welcome.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
My name is Kathleen. I am a resident of the Rose City Park neighborhood. I do have hosted short-term as well as long-term people in my home. It's just me and my dog, and I have three bedrooms, and two of them I open up to visitors of Portland. I really applaud Portland for trying to look at this situation, legitimize it, bring it out in the open. I have absolutely no issue with permitting or even inspection to some degree. I'm a very responsible person. I have smoke detectors in my house. I have a carbon monoxide thing there. I live in the house that's been in my family since 1957. I grew up in that neighborhood. I went to Rose City Park School, and my partner owns a landmark, iconic restaurant in Rose City. We're responsible. We love our community. We want to work with the city. So that's really why I'm here today. I want you to see what a responsible short-term rental person looks like.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council.
Apparently you have some fans out there. Yeah. Too.
Before I get started my comment, I just want to say, after my wife and I started meeting with Commissioner Salzman and the other council members the past couple of years, it's amazing to be here today and be able to talk about this at this point. So with the Planning Commission, one thing we heard was there's some concerns about how Airbnb, a $10 billion company, was trying to influence the city of Portland. However, this is not about Airbnb. It's about ordinary citizens like my wife and myself who are just attempting to get involved in shared economy by renting available bedroom or two in our house. That's what it's about. Now, I'd like to make 3 points about what you might hear today. One thing that came up in the Planning Commission was the concern about the long-term rental pool and the cost of the long-term rental rates as a result of the short-term rentals. At the Planning Commission, what I heard was there were 245,000 households in the city of Portland, of which about half are rentals, long-term rentals. And then if you think about, there's my data was 1,300 short-term rentals, but it looks like it's gone to 1,600. It's growing quite rapidly. But that represents about 0.5% of total households in the city of Portland, or 1% of the rental pool. So given this information, I find it hard to believe that the short-term rental is going to have a material impact on rental rates or the rental pool. The other comment I want to make, you're probably going to hear about short-term rental guests, and they'll be called transient people, and how they may be intrusive to the neighborhood, and et cetera. Our experience is that they were just people like you and myself, but you probably have done short-term, you've probably been guests as well. So the fact of the matter is that short-term renting has been going on in Portland for years, and I've yet to read a newspaper article or seen any facts and data that support the notion that short-term rental guests have been a negative impact to the city or neighborhood. The only data I've heard was that I was reported in the Portland Tribune that Mike Liefeld reported out of 5,000 complaints to the city in 2012, only 12 were involved rentals, and we don't know how many of those are short-term rentals. And my last point is concerns that we avoid, to get here, concerns about the impact of the character of the neighborhood. And I recognize this as a generalization, but I would contend that long-term rentals have a bigger impact on a neighborhood than a long-term rental. Long-term rentals, the landlords don't care as much about their houses as owners, such as ourselves. The tenants don't care about their yards as much as us. Whereas the short-term rental people, they need to keep their house up. They need to keep their yards looking good, or not going to attract renters. So in summary, we are pleased the progress the city has made in regards to short-term rental regulations. And by approving the proposed regulations, once again, Portland will be demonstrating it's a progressive city, and will be showing leadership to provide a model short-term regulation to other cities within the state and the U.S. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Terry Parker, Northeast Portland. The primary purpose of R-zone single-family home neighborhoods has always been to provide a safe haven refuge where people can live, have yards, potentially raise a family, and be free from the direct contact with commercial activities. The ploy to allow some of these homes to be commercially operated as a motel, be it only one or two bedrooms, is in direct conflict with the residential sanctuary of these neighborhoods. Not only does the concept set up impending neighbor-to-neighbor clashes, but an unscrupulous, enterprising individual could buy up numerous adjoining properties and rent out the bedrooms by the hour. Homeowners could end up with Motel Row across the street or even in their backyards. When a police officer is invited to speak at a neighborhood association meeting, the likely first thing that officer says in terms of safety is to know who is coming and going in your neighborhood. The short-term rental scheme in RICAP 6 violates the rights of homeowners who purchase their properties in non-commercial residential-only zone neighborhoods. It is not a minor code adjustment and it requires a broader community discussion. Missing from the requirements are approval by the majority of property owners in the same block and an annual review that allows neighbors to reevaluate the activity, a requirement for an annual fee that includes proof of liability insurance, a requirement that places limits on outdoor activities and noise. You have been elected to represent the people of Portland, not big out-of-town business interests. Numerous Portland neighborhood associations are asking for a broader community discussion coupled with a better vetting process, thereby requesting that short-term rentals be removed from RICAP 6. Please listen to their testimony, which is to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all. Okay, next three.
The next three are, Angela Arment, Linda Fitzgerald, and Michael Kaiser Nyman. And they'll be followed by Robert Herfert, Julius Wiley, and Phil Finch.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Who'd ever like to start?
Sure. I have a couple notes on my phone because I'm going to be very nervous. So I started, my brother and I.
What's your name, Michael?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Michael Kaiser Nyman. I live in close in northeast Portland. My brother and I signed a one-year lease on a house there a little over a year ago. And then just days later, he was accepted into a program to study Bangla in Bangladesh for 2 months. So we didn't have time to find a subletter. And that was when we started using Airbnb. And it was a really, let my brother cover his rent while he was with the State Department over in Bangladesh. And then after that, we continued to, occasionally we would go out of town for the weekend and, for example, going to see our parents. Being able to rent out our house over the weekend helped us pay for the plane fare and whatnot to make those kind of trips. And so it's been a really good experience for us. I've also stayed as a guest at Airbnb locations a couple times, and I'm really glad that Portland is taking steps to make this legitimate and to be regulated. I'm worried about the overregulation in terms of, I don't think that we would have, in that short a period of time, been able to set up something for somebody to come in and inspect our house, to be able to pay these kind of fees. If any of you have ever tried to put your house on Airbnb, you can see that one of the appeals of it is how simple it is to get going. You sign up on a website, you take pictures of your house, and then these kind of regulations, I worry, would make it harder for people like me and my brother to be able to put our houses on there. And another part of it too is that we always screen people who come into our houses. We make sure that they have good reviews. We talk with them beforehand, and we're very concerned about the right people coming into our neighborhood and being good neighbors to the people who live by us. And when we go to rent out a place, we do that same kind of screening on the people that we're renting from. And I think that's one of the big appeals of using a service like this. That's all I have.
I'm just curious, is the owner-occupied requirement a deal killer for you? You mentioned you and your brother going off for a weekend.
Right. So we would not be. Yeah, we would not be home at that point.
But you're still there.
I'm sorry?
You're still there.
I am still here, but I guess I'm not entirely clear on whether for the owner-occupant, we try to visit our parents on a regular basis. And so, we'd be gone for 3 or 4 days, and we won't be at the house at that point. When my brother was out of town for 2 months, I was there the entire time and actually made some really great friends from out of town, a couple of whom actually ended up moving to Portland later.
We'll get some clarification about what owner-occupied means in terms of continuity of occupancy.
Yeah, good question. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Linda Fitzgerald. I live in the Overlook neighborhood, North Portland. I've been hosting with Airbnb for about 6 months. And I started doing this after my husband died, after a long illness, and I needed to make extra money to pay bills. I talked with all my neighbors and explained that all the guests would be carefully vetted, and they would be staying with me through Airbnb. At first, they were, some of them, hesitant, but as the months have gone on, they have always supported me, and they've gotten into it, many of them, and have great conversations with people. I've had guests from every continent now in 6 months. I have people 28 out of 30 days every month. I've become quite a popular host, and I have made friends. Someone told me to say this, and it may not be the right thing to say, but it's the oddest way to grieve I've ever known, but it works for me. I have interesting, fabulous conversations around breakfast. One morning, one couple was from, the woman was from Mumbai, the man was from Cape Town. We discussed geopolitical issues about Cape Town one morning and Mumbai the next, and oh, I just learned so much. My life has been truly changed by this experience. I've sent gifts to all kinds of businesses. Every one of them wants to come and move to Portland. We're ambassadors. We are ambassadors. That's true. So please let us continue to represent the city. Thank you very much for taking up this issue.
Thank you. I know she's great, but we might have to make an exception in her case.
Hi, I'm Angela Arment, and I live downtown, and I share my apartment on Airbnb. And from a financial standpoint, it has helped me to focus more on my studies for school so I don't have to work so much, which is a huge impact on my life. And Charlie Hales talked about what's the difference between a hotel and what this shared housing is. And to me, it's a partnership with your guests because you are creating a partnership. They don't just click a button and book your place. You talk with them beforehand. You establish an understanding and a connection, and then you either accept or decline them. And it's different from a hotel because when you stay at a hotel, you know there's a certain standard of what you expect. And when you stay in an Airbnb or another one of these types of things, you're staying with a friend, or you're staying, it's like you go to a friend's house and you stay there. And there's just a little bit more accountability because you are paying a fee. It's a lot lower than a hotel, but it's different because you know that things aren't, you know, the towels might not, you know, you might not have two towels per day or things like that, but on a larger scale as well. So I think it's entirely different than a hotel. I think it's, you're staying with your friends and then you're paying money so you're accountable. And it's more of a community-based thing. So that's my opinion.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Did you say you live in an apartment downtown?
Yes.
Okay, so right now that, under our proposal, that's...
That's totally illegal and right, okay. I would have to work 40 hours a week or whatever to, and then also go to school full-time and then, or, you know, have $100,000 in debt when I graduate. So that's my...
Okay.
My situation, so okay. Please.
Oh, by the way, just not to out you here about your arrangement, whatever the council does, we would not be governing the relationship between the landlord and the tenant. So an owner of a multifamily apartment could put in the lease a prohibition
Allowed.
Against this or a condition
or
what have you. So
right.
that's not something we would regulate. But
also, one more clarification for me is – Why is there such a clamoring to put a big hold on this? Because there haven't been a lot of like injuries or complaints. I mean, I think the complaints have been very minimal, and the most of the complaints are from people like hotels thinking that they're losing money from this situation. But the type of customer that's going for this boutique experience is going to book a place like the Ace Hotel or like the Northrop Station. But those places are always booked out. If you've ever tried, there's just that demand is much greater in Portland than the places that people are able to stay. And so it's a completely different clientele. So I'm not even sure that argument is valid for stopping this. So,
yeah, okay. Well,
the problems have been very minimal.
Thanks very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. Next three.
Next three are Robert Hertert, Julius Wiley, and Phil Finch. And they'll be followed by Malia Sadko, Tom Malilo, and Mary Mather Slack.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. My name is Rob Hertert, and I'd like to go back now and address the inspection subjects for just a minute. The Planning Commission and staff had a fantastic set of workshops and hearings on that, so we aired all those issues. The issue of inspections came up, and that night, I think the thing went on until 10 o'clock, and I was a little bleary and couldn't really figure out what was bugging me about it. One of the commissioners had a lot of experience in inspections in another city, and brought up some concerns. And I'd like to include his comments along with mine that I have written up here. And I'll start off by just saying a lot of the homeowner hosts might just be involved in the very smallest of ways. They might put their toe in the water, make an Airbnb listing for free, and have a first guest, and want to be legal about it, and so they would apply for this permit process. And I think these occasional hosts might be extremely surprised at the unforeseen consequences of inspections that might happen as a result. I think the homeowner host would enter in the process feeling like their home is safe enough for their own family, and BDS hasn't ever required a safety inspection of their home, and neither does BDS, as far as I know, require safety inspections for any of the other 200,000 homes in Portland, notably not for those for long-term rentals, as far as I know. And I don't think they're really more concerned about safety of Airbnb guests than our own owners and long-term renters, and I understand why they'd want to do something. It seems logical to want to do something. But at the Planning Commission, the BDS staff tried to assure the commissioners that they wouldn't be overly zealous in the inspections. They went on to say, and with all due respect to BDS, and I was encouraged by what we heard today, they commented the BDS inspectors are highly trained to look for and spot any change in material types, construction methods, etc. That any alterations they find are required to be code compliant, and inspectors could not walk away from any violations they find. And in summary, I think that applicants may be getting more than they expect when they put these permit applications in, and that the city's goal to daylight the short-term rentals in Portland might be eclipsed or at least dimmed if the BDS inspections turn out to be overly broad and a significant number of fearful owners may stay under the radar using other advertising platforms. I recommend the city council drop the inspection requirement unless limited to the presence of the required interconnected fire alarms, which everyone can meet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just make a check with staff on something? Dan showed me a text, so I just want to be, I might have misspoken. Under this proposal, we're talking about single-family residences, but our requirement is they be a primary residence. So as long as it's your primary residence and not, say, your vacation home, you don't actually have to be in the house when your guest is there.
Right.
I just want to clarify that. I got tripped off the owner, somehow I wrote the owner-occupied, but
yeah, it's primary
just has to be your primary residence, but you don't necessarily have to be there when your guest is there.
Right. Okay.
So I,
good clarification.
Sorry if I muddled that issue with my question.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to know. Thank you. Thanks very much. Yes, please.
Hello, I'm Dr. Julius Wiley. I'm a physician at the Providence Immediate Care in Bridgeport. I went to the Providence Family Medicine Residency in Milwaukee, and I've been practicing immediate care in the Portland area for the last 7 years. So I'd just like to talk about how home sharing has allowed me to bootstrap my own business, and I now have two people working with me on a contractual basis. I mean, there's many, many reasons that I like doing home share, but I'll just talk about this more specifically. 4 years ago, I decided to start my own business using funds from home sharing. It's called TapCare at tapcare.mobi. I use mobile devices to evaluate and treat skin rashes, cold cough allergy, sinusitis, urinary tract infections. I mean, doctors have known for a long time that there's a lot of things that can be handled without an in-office visit. The reason that's really not done is typically insurance doesn't cover for that. But with with people who are uninsured and people who have high deductible health plans that might have to spend $1,750 before their insurance kicks in, there are certain things that really can be handled with my service for $50. And then there's follow-up calls for up to 3 weeks afterwards. So, and this completely through home sharing. So in the last year and a half, I've made over $6,000 from home sharing, which has allowed me to hire local web developer Dan Sweet of Heptagon Creative, himself a small business owner, to build the site. through my local entrepreneurial group, Ty Oregon, I connected with an experienced marketer, Jamie Teasdale of Propel Business Works, who's working with us to build social media, blog, and an email newsletter plan. And she's a small business owner. So there are many, many different reasons that I've decided to do this, but another reason was that I like to take a sun break in the middle of winter, and last year I went to Ecuador for 2 weeks and stayed on an eco ranch and went bird watching and hiking, and on the way down to the coast, I got two notifications from my Airbnb and $400. So I was like, have freedom of location and kind of my own business.
Thank you.
That's welcome.
Thanks very much. Afternoon.
And greetings to you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Phil Finch. I'm a retired teacher from a private college, and I opened up the Airbnb in my condo, which, by the way, is separated 5 feet from its neighboring condos, so I don't know if that's technically an attached house or not. But anyway, I wanted to just mention how positive this has been for me. Positive economically, obviously, and positive also culturally. I bought my condo 4 years ago to have the right place for my wife, who is here with me now from China. So I want her to be in the most diverse neighborhood possible, Southeast Portland, and that is a very diverse neighborhood indeed. Well, as I live there, it's rich for me just in the people that I know, my daily neighbors, but now I've imported people from other countries. Not that I expected that to happen, but I had a gentleman from Australia come and stay. He was one of the shorter-term people. I tend to be over a month in duration of my rentals, but he was two weeks. I had a gentleman, a physician, a medical student from Pakistan, who stayed with me for a month, and indeed, I shared with him all of my medical textbooks, and we had good discussions, and I learned how hot his food is. In this process now, I have a lady from Vienna, Austria, who's staying in my home. She's going to a seminary here. I loan her my bicycle. It's like they become family. It really is a wonderful experience. Yes, financially, yes, culturally. And also, I would like to say that these people are minimalists when they come here. Can you imagine traveling from another country to stay here for months with multiple suitcases? So they're going out shopping, they're using the local community as their resource area, and they're purchasing. So I think we're distributing, in this case it's Airbnb, but it could be other units as well. We're distributing the purchasing power of our guests throughout the whole community, not in just one area. Mm-hmm. So my positive experience is, I think it's very positive for me financially and culturally, as well as it is for Portland, which deserves this cultural enrichment and financial enrichment. And I thank you for considering the process to go on.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
The next three are Malia Sejko, Tom Vallelo, and Mary Mather Slack. And they'll be followed by Brian Scott, Jerry Fitterman, and Betsy LaBarge.
Welcome.
Malia, Sejko, Tom, Mary.
Here she comes. Okay. That's all right.
I have to make a grand entrance.
well, after that, you can be first.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm sorry a couple have left the room. My name is Betsy LaBarge, and I own Mount Hood Vacation Rentals, a company I started almost 23 years ago. And I've also been very active in the short-term rental activity and industry the whole time. I served for 5 years on the board of directors for the National Vacation Rental Managers Association. Also served on multiple committees and task force for the Vacation Rental Managers Association. I was a founding member of the Mount Hood Tourism Marketing Alliance and served on that board for several years. I currently serve on the Clackamas County Tourism Development Council. Our job is to determine how to spend the transient occupancy taxes that come into the county. And I'm also the chair of the marketing committee for the Clackamas County Tourism Development Council, and I've served on other projects and tasks that have involved Clackamas County Tourism over the last few years, serving on that board. But why I'm here today, and I'm going to read now so I don't forget things, is just to ask you to take a little bit more time to look at this issue. I don't believe that what we've created here is really going to recognize all of the challenges that have been already mentioned regarding neighborhood livability issues, safety, transient occupancy taxes, and it doesn't address the traditional short-term rental activity, which is what I represent, vacation rentals. They've been around for decades. They're around right now in Portland, operating above or under the radar. They're not collecting and remitting transient occupancy taxes, and they're not going to go away with this regulation. So I would recommend that we wait. We have stakeholders at the table who talk about this a little more, and I include myself as a stakeholder. I'm effectively eliminated from starting a business in Portland because you've made it illegal for me to do what I do in Portland. Why not make it legal for me to do this and represent a professional management scenario for vacation rentals, which are here? And the peer-to-peer is not what we do when I talk about vacation rentals. I don't live in the home. I represent a home for other people. It's really not much different than long-term month-to-month rental property management, except for we're doing it for less than 30 days. It is a visitor. It's not a tenant. But we're still going to be recognizing the livability factors and many of the other things other people have talked about. So I kind of swayed from my script, but I would just like to ask that we wait a little longer before we pass this so we can talk about all of these issues and challenges that have already been brought up and probably some that haven't been brought up yet. And let's see what we can do. And I, as well as I know other people, are happy to help you with this. We're happy to share with you what we know. I'm active nationally. I know a lot of people. There's best practices. There's ordinances already that are written. We can help you find one that's going to work for this.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
And thank you.
Good afternoon.
Fan club.
Thank you. My name is Tom Melillo, and I applaud the work that you're doing, and I don't envy the seats that you're sitting in right now. But I sit here as a single father of three amazing boys, as a physician who serves the Portland community, and as a struggling but proud owner of a record label here in Portland. I also sit here as a concerned owner and host of a condominium unit in Northwest Portland. Now, I say all this not to impress you, but to impress upon you what my role is and how proud I am being a part of the business community in Portland. And a great source of that pride has come through being an Airbnb host for the condominium unit in Northwest Portland. When my girlfriend Melinda and I had the opportunity to purchase a condo, we saw it as a place for us to retreat to, away from our daily jobs and the stresses of single parenthood. It was a place in the heart of Northwest where we would be able to walk to all of our favorite shops and restaurants. It would also bring me closer to my passion as being part of the music community in Portland. As often happens in life, we found that our increasingly busy lives meant less time for us to be downtown and more days going empty in the condo we had purchased. Hosting through Airbnb became a way for us to continue to afford our retreat and a way for me to continue to afford to support my music habit. We've also learned what an amazing boon it has been to the local community. One of our favorite things to do with our guests is to see the places they've been and the things they've done. It gives us a window into who we are hosting and to where all the great places are around town. We see shopping bags from Noble Home, Crafty Wonderland, Powell's Books, food containers from Bridgeport Brewery, Little Bird, Oven and Shaker, and invariably Voodoo Donuts. And ticket stubs from Portland Center Stage, the Brody Theater, the Doug Fir Lounge. We get to see Portland through their experience, and it makes us even more proud to be residents and more determined to be visitors in our own city. These people are business travelers, respectful people, weekend adventurers, world explorers, all experiencing the bounty of all that is Portland. These are people who enjoy the intimacy of sharing someone's home, people who gladly put their money into the local community, and people who are happy to spread the word that Portland is open for business. What we have found through Airbnb is not just supplemental income or a way for me to help support the local music community, but also a community of people and places that are helping to grow and sustain our local economy. As you deliberate on these issues, I urge you to consider condos in the proposal and to help us continue to be a part of that community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Good afternoon. Hey, folks. We let you get away with that once or twice, but just wave your hand, please.
Go ahead. I'm going to be applauded for it.
I know. Charlie. Once we get it started, it's hard to stop. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Mary Mather Slack. I'm a Portland native, grew up in Ladd's Addition, and I'm here representing my mother, who is 87 years old and has lived in her home in Ladd's Addition since 1949. I manage an Airbnb in her small guest house behind her house, and as that would make me a non-owner operator, I guess. And my sister and I are caregivers for my mother. Like I said, she's 87. She has diabetes. She requires 24/7 care. Her income is fixed. She's a retired educator. And her taxes on the house are $8,100 a year and rising. There is no possible way that I can keep my mother in her home without doing this activity. By your guidelines, I don't fit in. My mother is not capable of managing the property herself, and I need to do that for her. Her caregiver's expense is 62%. Her taxes are 17% of her her gross income. And as you can see, this leaves less than $8,000 a year to pay for heat, food, medications, and other expenses, including an occasional trip to the movies. This has also allowed me to maintain her historic home. She's on the historic registry. In fact, the house's name, it has her name on it. It keeps her engaged with people, and we've started to pay off the back taxes and penalties. And most importantly, we get to keep her in her home where she feels safe and not disenfranchised. She's been in many a care facility, and she deteriorates when she goes to those places for rehabilitation. We've always rented the little house and back, but the most we can get for it doesn't even cover the taxes. So I would request that you guys take a little bit more time to think about the ramifications of the primary residence. I don't know what you.
Who
manages it and how it's managed. Airbnb, people are very particular about who they stay with. They vet us very carefully. They will not stay in a place that's not well maintained and isn't comfortable and safe. Airbnb sent me carbon monoxide smoke detectors to put into the cottage so that we would comply with what building codes are. I've been a realtor and own my own company here. I've been a realtor for 27 years in Portland. I know what it takes to maintain a safe and comfortable place. I've owned rentals for 25 years. You know, so there are other people involved in this whole situation that are thoughtful and and respectful and acknowledge that we need some regulation, but your ordinance, as it's proposed, does not cover a huge part of who participates in this kind of income opportunity.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate all three of you. Thanks. Let's take the next three then, please.
Okay, first, was there a Malia? Was Malia here? Okay, then we'll go with Brian Scott, Jerry Fitterman.
Why don't you go ahead and she'll, there's the third.
And they're going to be followed
and all three of you.
By Joel Budnich, Ashley Agri, and Corrine Foster.
Okay, who'd like to go first?
Go ahead. Thank you. Hi, I'm Jerry Fitterman, and I live in the Elliott neighborhood, and I've had our master bedroom on Airbnb since February. I'm recently retired as a teacher. My husband is home from health issues. So Airbnb is a good option for us to be able to maintain our home and be able to stay there. We some of these issues have already been brought up, so I'm trying to eliminate them. And when I was in walking in England last year, I stayed in many homes where the farmers would keep their houses and their ranches, their farms, there were mostly sheep, because they could rent out rooms to people walking. And I thought that was a great idea. So when I got back home, I took the winter to set that up for our room. And so we've had people stay almost constantly since then. We have mostly young women stay with us, and I don't know if it's because my picture's on there or why, but we've had only two times where we've had men. One was visiting his son in the neighborhood, and another were two young Russian and English people, so they're used to this kind of thing. But the women say that they like staying in a home that is in a neighborhood. They feel safe coming and going at night. I've had people come to town for new jobs looking for an apartment, and they stay with me till they find one. I've helped them find one. And now I have a medical student who's a young woman who's at Emmanuel Hospital on a rotation, and she comes and goes at all hours, so she just walks down the block, which is very nice for her. So I appreciate this Airbnb because they do a lot of the work for me. They advertise and they take care of the money, and I appreciate them helping with the taxes. And I appreciate the city government departments that have set up this proposal. And I would like to be legal. I didn't realize when I started that I wasn't, but I soon found out because of your review process that I wasn't. So thank you.
Right, thank you. Thanks very much.
Okay, I'm ready. My name is Malia Seiko, and my husband and I rented our condo for about a year when we would go on vacation, and then we moved to Foster Powell, and we've been renting the basement out for about a year and a half, and it's really given us a ton of financial freedom. We own our own business downtown, and after having our second son, it's made it so we were able to have a little breathing room while our business grew. I also want to talk about typically the people that stay with us are young families because we have kids, so they're drawn to, I don't know, our layout. Right now we have a family from Copenhagen. They have two boys. We had beers with them last night. We're playing soccer. They had dinner at Hopworks. They're supporting Piper Cafe. They had dinner at Tortlandia. They're really giving Foster Powell a lot of their dollars, which makes me really happy because we're up and coming. I think my big concern is the inspections. Being a small business owner, I know that inspections, he's saying imminent things, but we have inspections all the time, and I mean, they're never easy, and they're never cheap. And the idea of someone coming into my house where my dad stays, my grandmother stays all the time, and going through, and I just know it will not go well, and I know it will be very expensive. And my last point is that both of my neighbors on both sides rent their houses out long-term. Neither of those people mow their lawn. They don't go to the Foster Powell Neighborhood Association meetings. They are not participating in our neighborhood. And so, anyways, that's my spiel.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks very much.
I'll take her 20 seconds. Hi, I'm Brian Scott. First of all, thank you guys for even hearing this and for the work you've already done. I know that work is immense. I returned to Portland last year after a bit of time away and deciding that Portland's actually where I want to make home for the majority of the rest of my life, at least most of each year, and wanted to move back into my home and realized that due to lifestyle shifts, I could not afford the mortgage. And so I tried to continue renting that out. But finally, through some creative engineering and what the city has passed in terms of ADU allowance, converted my garage into an ADU so that I could live in 400 square feet and rent out the house. My neighbors actually suggested that I turn to short-term rental because in the amount of time that I was gone, the house itself was rented to individuals, whether that be a group of 3 to 5 college kids, whether that be bartenders that go out all night and then come back and play video games or band practice at 3 a.m. My neighbors didn't love that as a long-term rental. They love the idea that I'll actually be on site managing short-term rentals and vetting who comes through. I am involved in my neighborhood. My neighbors were happy to see me come back. I attend neighborhood meetings. I've designed this place to better not only my life but also the street itself, and I'm now The ID was actually listed as well as four others in a New York Times article a few weeks ago, basically touting Portland for being responsive and proactive with its neighborhoods and with community needs. And I think that's why we're having this discussion as well. So I thank you for all those things. Short-term rental is actually allowing me to continue surviving and keep my home. Otherwise, I would not. The thing that I'd ask you to consider, I actually very much promote the inspection process. I promote safety issues. The thing that I think is actually going to be really difficult is anything that's a three-bedroom having the large set of fines and being kind of a different category. The doctor we heard from earlier, for example, that $4,000 fine actually takes away over 60% of his income from what he said. If I do my math on what that looks like for an initial year, it's taking away over 20% of initial income. That hurts as someone who's actually trying to start a business and merely trying to get by and keep my house. So I would ask you to consider that as well, but thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate you. Thanks. Okay, let's take three more, please.
Joelle Budenich, Ashley Agree, Corinne Foster, and they'll be followed by Mandy White, Deborah Woman, and Rachel Elizabeth.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Ashley Ager, and a lot of people have said the things that I was planning to say coming up here, but I really wanted to share my experience with Airbnb. I'm very new to Airbnb. At first, I was very reluctant to do it. I wasn't sure if it would be financially viable. But then I was accepted into grad school, and I had to make a choice between doing grad school full-time or finding a job. And so Airbnb has actually allowed me to do that. I'm pursuing my master's in education with an endorsement in special ed. And because of Airbnb, I'm able to do that. And honestly, I love Airbnb. I like getting to know everybody who comes. I would just encourage you guys to take more time and really think about it, because my situation is a little different. I actually am an owner-occupied triplex. I own a triplex, so I do rent out two of my units through Airbnb. And I started doing that, again, as I said, for grad school. It allows me to make more money and make ends meet. And I would not be able to do that anymore. And so, again, it just would prevent me from doing something that I love to do or want to do, you know.
You live in, sorry to interrupt you, you live in one of the three units and rent out the other two?
Yes, I live in the middle. So it's a three-story house. Mm-hmm. I live in the middle so I can hear both. If they're ever too noisy, with grad school, I shut that down pretty quick. I need my sleep. So
you're saying that because you're a triplex, yeah, with there are three different apartments, mm-hmm, with separate entrances?
Yep.
And that would not, we'll add this to the list of follow-up questions.
That's a new variation on that.
But it began as a single-family residence?
Yes, and then over time, we didn't live in it when it was converted into a triplex, but we moved.
How would that, for example, be any different than someone who took the third floor, turned it into a residence for an aging parent, and gave them a separate entrance? It seemed to me people do that for a lot of good reasons, but that may actually be disqualified under our code. So something for us to think about.
Yeah.
Yes. And actually with the city, technically it's not recognized as a legal triplex anyway. It's recognized as a duplex within an attached in-law suite. So, but although the city taxes me as a triplex anyway. So, oh well.
Okay, thank you. Now, I appreciate hearing that variation on the idea. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Hello, my name is Corinne Foster, and I appreciate your time and listening to my story. So I was unemployed due to healthcare reform about a year ago, and I thought I'd lose my house. And my roommate told me about Airbnb, and it's allowed me to stay in my home that I love very much. I live in Ladd's Addition. It's a fantastic neighborhood. And when I have Airbnb guests, I introduce them to this wonderful city, the wonderful neighborhood. No one's mentioned thus far, but we do pay income tax on what we earn from Airbnb. So, I've stayed in lots of hotels, traveled the world around. I've never had an experience where I've actually gone to movies with my guests. I've gone to restaurants with my guests. So it's a very different experience than a hotel experience. I think the people that want to stay in a hotel want, you know, a certain expectation. But here in Airbnb, like people have said, it's whatever you want to make it, but it can really introduce people to this wonderful city where, again, you know, they want to stay again and again. I've had guests that come several times. So it's thank you very much.
Thank you. Perfect. Afternoon.
Hello. I'm very nervous.
It's okay.
My name is Joelle Budinich. I'm a 31-year-old single female. I've been hosting with Airbnb for over 3 years now in my primary residence. Engaging with this sharing community has completely transformed my world. I'm happy to say that I am currently fully supported financially by sharing my space after just 2 years ago almost foreclosing on my home due to a layoff. This has allowed me to focus on my passion and goal in life, which is to live, share, and educate others on sustainable living. My home is an urban permaculture homestead in the Overlook neighborhood, complete with an edible landscape, flock of chickens, and honeybees. My space provides a unique Portland experience for eco-conscious and curious travelers from around the world, constantly creating inspirational connections and relationships. At least 50% of my guests travel here without a car. I am 4 blocks from a MAC stop and walking distance to the Mississippi Arts, which at least 90% of my guests spend a great deal of time there patronizing the businesses, eating meals, and thoroughly enjoying the Portland culture. Because of the financial support Airbnb has provided me just over a year ago, I was able to realize a long-term dream of expanding my property onto the house next door. Purchasing it has enabled me to triple my income through renting this 3-bedroom private family home through the peer-to-peer sharing. This has allowed me to expand on the community education piece that I desire to share. Just last week, I was able to host a 5th grade class field trip. They got to experience permaculture living firsthand. I'm concerned that this new second home is not included within the recap, and that I live on the property essentially, but it is directly next door. There's no fences. It's all one piece of land, separate properties, a 3-bedroom home. I am so grateful for the sharing economy and the financial stability it has brought to my life. Thank you.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You didn't seem nervous.
I'm shaking.
So, nice job. And your 3-bedroom home, do you normally rent that to a single family, or could you rent it to 3 different people, each of whom get a
bedroom? I only rent it to one renter. I don't rent the individual rooms. I rent it to a single family.
A single family. So someone with a couple of kids or something, and they need that extra bedroom.
Correct.
Or not.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes. I mean, right now I have a family that works for Design with Matters from Boston, and they're only using one of the 3 bedrooms, actually.
You know, one thing we haven't talked much about during this hearing is what it costs to actually stay to access one of these services. And I maybe at some point we'll come back. I'm just curious to get a sense of what's the price point and how does it compare to other options? Because I'm sort of guessing in my mind, but. Everyone's been very discreet about it.
Go online.
I can answer. My primary residence, I rent out 2 bedrooms. They're about $60 each. And then the second home that's a 3-bedroom, it's $170 a night.
$170 a night?
Mm-hmm. And it's allowed me to triple my income.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Nice. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. The next three are Mandy White, Deborah Warman, and Rachel Elizabeth. And they'll be followed by Elise Wagner, Sue Carter Law, and Naomi E. Campbell.
I'll go first. Okay. I'm Rachel Elizabeth, and I just came to support the Recap 6 with 2 changes. The first one is I own a mixed-use building in North Portland, and it's commercial on the ground floor and 4 apartments on the second floor. I also live in the building, and I rent out 2 apartments, and just recently I started using Airbnb to be a host, and I'd like to continue to do that. I also would recommend maybe scrapping the home inspection part. As a commercial landlord anyway, I pay the fire, you know, I have an annual inspection for my building every year. So I'm already safe and Of course, very transparent with my neighbors because I live in the building and I'm also a host. So those are my two recommendations.
No, I was thinking through that one. So you get a commercial fire inspection
every year.
But does that extend to the rental units?
They go upstairs into the hallway. So I have exit signs. Yeah. And what they don't do, and it's like, of course, I live in the building and it's a beautiful old building and it's very safe, but it seems like the inspection part is more cumbersome with these new rules than it is for just a commercial landlord, because the fire department doesn't go into each individual apartment, but they do go into the basement, they go into all of the commercial and the hallway. So I'm like, in a way, I'm like really complying, but I'm not, because I own a four unit apartment building, and I'd really like to be able to continue. And of course, I'm part of a community, and so my other tenants are also, you know, we live in the building and everybody knows what's going on, and we like it. Would like to continue to do that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's next? Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to us today. I'm Deborah Werman, and we've been renting out our space through Airbnb for just over a year, and it really allows us to utilize a house that's much too big for us and keep the studio that we rent out for our family and friends to visit when they're in town. So we don't really want to rent out long term. We're a little bit surprised about the inspection because we're not, you know, I feel like we're more in the renting out a space business than, you know, a business in our home. And so I would hope that we would be under the regulations of rentals more. If there's a complaint, that we would have an inspection, and we comply with all of the codes of the city and recommendations of Airbnb. We have a fire alarm and all that, and a first aid kit as well. And one of the things I want to talk about was neighbors. We've been really careful to talk to our neighbors. And for the first time, just when I was sitting there, one of our neighbors' aunts called and wants to stay at our place because, you know, they know us and they're going to come in the summer. That's really the main thing. It's really allowed us to live much more creatively and do what we are driven to do, which includes arts and building. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Mandy White, and my husband and I host on Airbnb. We live in the Piedmont neighborhood. He was born and raised there, and we live actually blocks from the childhood home he grew up in. And I'm also a real estate agent, so I'm really connected with the housing market, and I'm just passionate about houses in general and living and getting to know people and building relationships in our community. And, you know, everybody's kind of talked about their experiences. We currently host, so obviously we're really excited and happy about our experience. Just like many of these people, we have an entrepreneur spirit, and we've chosen to be hosts because we enjoy meeting people and having people in our space. My husband and I don't have children, and I think that sometimes, at least from that perspective, we feel like you get connected to your community oftentimes when you go to the soccer games or when you're connected in the school, and because we don't have that opportunity, excuse me, that gives us a place where other people can get connected with churches and other things that we don't do. And so this has given us community. I have now been able to find out about our homeowners association that I didn't know existed before. I'm a part of that. We have signs in our yard about upcoming events. We participate so much more now in our community, and we feel a part because of this. And we wouldn't have if we didn't have Airbnb and we didn't have this opportunity. And yes, it does serve a financial piece to us, but it is so much deeper than that. And I don't envy you, because right now you're hearing all these different people, all these different perspectives. And while we all have something in common about short-term rentals, we all do it very differently. And sometimes with my home, when we moved in, it was a true bungalow, we added a kitchen downstairs so that people could stay with a separate entrance and kind of be the in-between, where they, if they wanted to connect with us, we can open up the door and we can connect and have family, you know, type of meals and share that. But if they don't, we keep it shut. And they have their space and they go to the neighborhood pub and they enjoy themselves on their own. And sometimes we've been out of the country even and rented the entire home. So of the 1,600, I actually represent 3 different listings on Airbnb because we have an option of upstairs, downstairs, and the entire